here. You guys can hear me good?
Yeah!
Awesome. All right, so as we know, tonight's our theme of prayer. And so how dare I start this without prayer? So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, thank you so much, Father, for bringing us here tonight, God. Help us tonight just to be reminded about the power of prayer. God, prayer is such a big reason why everything works out, God. Why lives are changed, why Jesus came, he came and prayed himself. And Father, just prayer is just such an important part of our lives, God. I pray that prayer becomes something that we grow in, Father, as a ministry, God. Because we know when people ask, hey, how is your ministry doing these incredible things? We point to you. And we say, because you listen to us.
Yeah. Wow.
Father, and because of our prayers that change the world, Father. We love you so much, and praise our Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys. So open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be looking at that first. And yeah, so I'm excited to talk to you guys about prayer today. I feel like prayer is definitely an area in my life has its ups and downs, but I feel like I'm starting to really get it. I feel like I'm starting to really understand prayer in a different way. You know, and prayer is such an important thing. Well, for me, one of my favorite things to do is to read the Bible. I love to read in general. So, you go to my house, you see a huge library, and I just love to read. That's just part of my hobby, right? So, but one thing I have a hard time doing is I have a hard time praying. I feel like that's my weakness. I feel like, well, that's a part of me, like this intimate relationship with God, communicating with someone I don't see, seems like something that it's hard for me to really get my heart around. You guys with me?
Yeah.
You guys feel like that? But as we know, as a Christian, prayer is so important. But I want to first talk about a few things that we can probably relate to in terms of not being able to really connect in prayer, right? There's sometimes when we have prayer times that we literally are just praising God, right? We have those moments where you're just praising God, like, God, you're above the stars, you're above the moon, you created all the galaxies. You know, God, and then wham, having a conversation with my prayer partner. And so, it's real. We have a hard time connecting to a God who's all creator, powerful. And it's just difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? So, my hope, my prayer today is that we can understand how to have confidence in prayer.
Yeah.
Where we can pray confidently and see God work powerfully.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we're all in different parts of our walk with God when it comes to prayer. You know, we're all in different places. You know, some pray more effectively than others. Some pray different ways, longer times. You know, there's many different walks. There's many different places that you guys are in the topic of prayer. But I want us to look at Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 14. And we're going to talk about Paul's view of prayer, which I think is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 19.
Come on, bro.
It says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and how this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Right? It's a powerful passage, right? And one thing that Paul has in his passage is the word power. When you hear about that, it's like you can't say power in like a weak way, like power. But it's power. He talks about the power that God has. And how does he get this power? Verse 14, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." When was the last time you kneeled before the Father? When was the last time you really got on your knees and you really knew that there was a situation that you couldn't go through? And the reason of it was because you probably hadn't been on your knees in prayer. Right? So Paul makes this clear point here, like, I kneel before the Father. Right? We can see that he doesn't put his hope in other things. He puts his hope in the power of God. And you know, one of my biggest struggles for me is I like to put my hope in other things to fix my problems. And I noticed I did that for a very long time, you know, whether it's money or getting security, people, you know, or whatever it might be, but a lot of those things aren't going to fix the problems. You know, that's a lot of the things that our world likes to go to. You know, things that have no value, no power, and it might for that very moment, but the minute it's gone, you have nothing to go to. Right? So this power that Paul's talking about is amazing. And so power in itself, let's just talk about that and stick on that real quick. You guys with me?
Yeah, come on, Charles.
All right, cool. So power, right? The actual Greek word for power is dunamis.
Right.
Right? Dunamis. And that word is where we get the word dynamite.
Come on.
Isn't that crazy? The word power in the Bible means dynamite. That is awesome, right? And so it's saying, God is pretty much saying, hey, look, when you pray, you're going to let off a dynamite. But guess what? Dynamites can't go off if you don't light the fuse.
Okay.
Because the fuse is your prayer life. The fuse is your prayer life that blows up the dynamites. And without the prayers, God can't do the incredible, imaginable things he can do in your life.
Right. Come on, bro.
And with knowing that should bring us confidence. When we pray, we should know that, wow, like God's going to do something powerful, amazingly powerful. And this same power that's in you, this same power that's in you is the same power. If you're a baptized disciple today, it's the same power that God used to create the world, to create you.
Yeah.
It's the same power that the Bible is saying that is in you if you're a Christian today. Let that sink in. But I'm real with you. Is it easy to believe that? Well, I want to encourage you real quick. I want you to, when you get home tonight, I want you to look in the mirror. And I want you to see that you are an example of God's power. That when you look at your life and how much you've changed, and how much you've been through, and the struggles you've been through, and God pulled you through every single time, you are an example of God's power.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I can't explain it. People, I go back home and I see people, they're like, dude, how did you change?
Right.
How did you, can you tell me the formula? Dude, what book are you reading? Dude, how much money you got in your account? I can't tell you that. But what is changing you? And to be honest with you, I can't fully answer that question. Because there's something miraculous that happens in prayer.
Yeah.
That some of us can't even understand. We can't explain it. But all we know is that God works when we light the fuse and the dynamite goes off.
Come on, bro.
Amen?
Amen.
But here's the thing, we're gonna talk about, actually I wanted to share this, write this down. I think this is very effective. But James chapter 5 verse 16 in the Message version paraphrases this in an amazing way. So the original, well, in the NIV, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, right? And in the Message version, check this out. It says, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with.
Wow.
Woo! When I read that passage, I'm fired up. I was like, I prayed for like 30 minutes after I read that. Is that the person that is right with God? The person that is right with God. Your prayers are so powerful. It's beyond we could ever imagine our prayer lives. But the truth is, we get discouraged sometimes, right? Sometimes it's hard to go to God. Sometimes it's hard to really pour your heart out to God. But the truth of the matter is, He actually wants to hear us.
Yeah.
He actually wants to hear what we have to say. He wants that relationship. You know, and prayer isn't just only about just getting what you want, but it's there so we can develop a relationship with God. And we can have that relationship. So we're going to talk about a little bit about what discourages us from being confident in our prayer lives. And we're going to look at what James says in James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. You guys with me?
Yeah, come on.
And then we're going to get into to the practicals here so you guys can take them. So James chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. James says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Wow, that's challenging, right? So James just talks about praying, but the power, the fuse goes out when we don't really believe that what we're praying is going to happen. That's exactly what James is talking about. He's talking about, hey, look, when we pray, we got to really believe that it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure every person here can stand up if I said, how many prayers have you prayed that actually got answered? And when you look back on it and think about your faith during that prayer, I bet you believed 100%, right? And so James is talking about, man, believing when you pray to God, believing that it's going to happen. And it will be done. No question about it. And that's encouraging. That's a promise. And we know God doesn't break promises.
Right?
So God promises that He will answer those prayers. And so I want to share just a story real quick. But as some of you know, I graduated from Bergen Community College in 2016.
Yeah.
We got any Bergen heads in here? Raise your hand. All right, we got some two fake. What happened 2 years ago, I was at Bergen Community College and you know, I was in the library printing up some papers and I accidentally left my phone next to the print station. You know, and I didn't realize that until about 30 minutes later, you know, digging in my pocket, couldn't find my phone. So I was like, great, so now I gotta go look for it. So before I did that, I prayed, you know, that I would find my phone. And honestly, at that time, I didn't pray about much material things. For some reason in my mind at that time, I was like, all right, you can only pray to God about things that are serious and like, you know what I'm saying? You can't pray for a parking spot when you go to school and all that stuff. That was my thinking, right?
You can, man. You can pray for that.
Yeah, but the Bible says clearly that you can pray for anything. Do your thing. But at the time,
unless God doesn't want you to get a parking spot.
But I remember just losing my phone, but I prayed. I prayed anyway. I was like, God, please help me find my phone today. That's all I said. That was it. And then, so I went back, tried to look for my phone, gone. Not there, where I left it next to the print station. Gone. So I went to the public safety department on campus, and I went to ask him. I was like, hey, my phone has been stolen, I believe, or I lost it, but I remember exactly where I was when I left my phone. When I lost. And so he said, where were you at? We're in the library. And he was like, all right, well, come with me. So I'm like, all right, we're going to the library. We're going to find this guy, right? So that's actually not what happened yet. So we actually went to this room. And when I went inside this room they had on campus,
it was like multiple 26-inch TVs from like all over the walls. I mean, this was like high-tech, like crazy stuff. This is like Berkeley Community College, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I was with the FBI or something. It was crazy. I was in there watching the videos, and he was like, all right, tell me where the library was at exactly. Okay, I was by the print station. So he pulls up the video at the same time that I told him that I was gonna be, I was at the print station. So he puts the video there, and so we're just watching. My phone, I literally see my phone just sitting there next to the computer, and I'm like, all right, it's there then, but where is it now?
There it is.
We're going through the tape and stuff, and we're seeing people just print out their stuff, and some people were looking at it like, and then we just walk away. So there was probably about six people that looked at the phone.
Six righteous people.
God bless their hearts, right? Six people that looked at the phone and walked away. And then out of those six people was one guy who came back. Right? He came back and he started, you know, print something out, and then he looks over at it, takes like two takes. He ends up taking the phone after he looks around, takes it, slips it in his pocket. And, you know, we're just watching, so I'm just like, what? And then, you know, the other guys are like really serious. Like, oh, we got the guy now. So we're going. So we're going back to the other office, and what happens is the computer actually takes your student ID number, and so they can actually track down who printed at that time. Right? Crazy. But it doesn't end yet. All right. You guys are with me? Okay. So we go back. And Tracy said, "Hey, you got to come back later. So we can, and come back later and check in with us. Give us your number, whatever." Okay. Cool. So later on in the day, I came back. And I was like, hey, did you guys end up tracking the number at the time, who it was? And they were like, we're sorry, but we couldn't find the guy. We couldn't find his information on the thing. I was like, how? You know? But, amen. So I walked out, prayed again. I prayed, God, please still help me find my phone today, right? I come back, and he's like, I'm sorry, man, we don't know what we can do. We don't know. We just have to identify the guy through the video and see if we found him on campus. I was like, okay. And then I was like, and then I told him, I was like, hey, it's okay, because I'm probably going to see the guy today because I just prayed about it. So the security guard looks at me and is like, you did what? I was like, I just prayed about it, so I'll find him later. I'll find him later. So then what happened after that, but I said it in a way that was like, you know, like, I'll let you guys know when I see him type of thing, you know, not like I'm about to get him or something, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm trying to do that.
Drag his head like,
so anyways, I come back later, and something told me to go upstairs. Something told me to go, I don't know, it's a spirit. Something told me to go upstairs, and I literally go to the library, and I walk upstairs, and the minute I looked in the library, I saw him. Oh. Not even kidding. I saw him. When I saw him, I was shocked to myself. I was like, oh, the dude was pretty big too, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, he looked bigger than he did on video. But I was like shocked when I saw him. So then I got up and I just got down to the security department and told him, hey look, the guy's upstairs, I'm telling you, the guy's upstairs. And they were like, all right, we're gonna get the cops. So they got the campus cop to go upstairs, and they went up and they questioned him and everything. And so I still didn't get my phone back because now I had to go to the police station. So fast forward, I went to the police station. And so they had to question him and stuff, but they gave me my phone. They said I couldn't get my phone until I went to the police station. So I went to the phone, went there, and they questioned him, got my phone back. And they were like, hey man, do you wanna press charges on him, you know, for what he did? And, you know, I said, no, I'm not gonna press charges on him. Here's a church invite card. And I want you, if you can, please just give him the church invite card. Tell him to give me a call, and I will love to bring him to church. And.
Nah, just kidding.
Because you know what? The reason why I did that is because, one, I totally believed that God answered my prayer so this guy can get a chance to know Jesus. I did that because I knew that this was probably the only chance this man was gonna have to experience grace. The
way Jesus showed us grace.
Yeah.
And I knew that that was a prayer that he answered for that very reason.
Wow.
I could have been upset. I could have been mad. I could have been bitter towards him. But when I prayed, I believed, and I expected something to happen. That's what we gotta do in our prayers. We gotta expect things to happen. Things are gonna happen. Let's not light out the fuse before it does. Because when we do, the dynamite is just gonna stay a dynamite and it'll never explode. Because God wants to use you,
right.
And he's the power source. Amen?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I shared that to kind of intro into some practicals here for you guys, all right?
Please.
I know you guys love practicals. Patricia was very excited. I saw her for practicals, all right? So here's some practicals. You ready? And guess what? What's even amazing is most of these are from Jesus' mouth himself. So
oh, yes.
That's always the best thing, right? So Luke chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. And the truth of that, what Jesus was teaching here, is that prayer has to be persistent. Jesus says, it's okay to bug God.
Come on.
It's okay. Actually, no. Please do. Please bug God. He loves to be bugged. Many of us here, we don't. but Jesus, he's like, man, bug me. Bug me. I want to see your faith.
Yeah.
Be persistent. Yeah. And Jesus said, man, I will answer that prayer.
Yeah.
Right? John 17, verse 5-9. This is a snapshot of Jesus' prayer that he prays. Excuse me. So Jesus had a plan with his prayers. He had a plan. And I think sometimes, for many of us, we can just pray and talk to God because we got into a place where, you know what, I feel real comfortable praying to God. But for some of us, we just need a little bit of order, right? And so Jesus shows an order in his prayer in John 17, verse 5-9. And so, you know, he prays in adoration to God. He prays for himself, he prays for the disciples, he prays for the people that are going to be able to get to know him, right? So he prays for the world as well. So Jesus has this great methodical way of praying, which is great, and it helps me a lot, because sometimes I pray and, you know, I get distracted and I'm like, what's next, you know? So that's a great method right there that I ended up using pretty recently, but cool. Ready for the next one? All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. It says, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Woo, man, right? And so, why is he talking about pagans? Why is he talking about that? Because pagans, the reason why they pray is so that they can be seen by people. Their motivation was, hey, look at me, I'm the religious guy. Watch me and give me glory as I pray. Right?
Right. Yeah.
And so you want your prayers to be genuine. Mm. That's what Jesus is trying to hit at here. He wants people to have genuine prayers where the motivation isn't for how people see me, but the motivation is, I want to be close to God.
Yeah.
I want to have a relationship with God. I want to speak to God, right? Because we're not just trying to be religious. We're not just trying to have this outward religiosity and these great, great thou art prayers. You know, we're not here for that. What we're trying to do is we have a sincerity in our prayers to God. We have a sincerity of our relationship with God. And so we want to present that and show God that we do sincerely care about the words that we share with him. And to be genuine. When I think about genuine prayers, some of the most genuine prayers I do have is when I'm about to eat an amazing meal I haven't ate all day, right? so that's like one of my most genuine prayers, you know, like, God, please just bless this food, and it's awesome, and, you know, and I'm serious. You know, some of us, my brothers here that I live with, they, you know, I don't play. But yeah, man, so just, there's something about, just, you gotta be genuine. That's my point. You just have to be genuine about your prayer life. That's Jesus' point, amen? All right, Mark chapter 11. We got a few more here.
Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mm-hmm. Wow. Jesus is saying, look, pray in the past tense. Pray as if it already happened.
Come on, Charles. Mm.
Talk about faith.
Right. Yeah.
Like, Jesus, you telling me that I should pray prayers as if they already happened?
Mm.
Wow. And imagine it happening as you prayed as if it already happened. That would be, would that not build your faith? That would be incredible, right? Praying in the past tense as if you already received it.
Right.
Mm, an amazing teaching by Jesus. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. One thing we also have to pray is we have to pray forgivingly. Jesus is saying here that we can't go to God in prayer, but yet be bitter towards somebody else.
Yeah.
God is just looking down and he's like, can you please forgive your brother and your sister before you come to me in prayer? Now we need to pray if we do have bitterness and about our bitterness in our hearts, but if there's someone that we're not truly forgiven, but yet we're praying to God and asking him for stuff?
Right.
God's like, no. Jesus is like, no. You have to go reconcile with your brother and your sister.
Right. Mm.
And then come and pray. And you will be forgiven. He talks about, it's a matter of salvation. Jesus is talking about.
Right.
So we need to really forgive. And I think one of the biggest examples that Jesus laid for us was when Jesus was on the cross himself. And he prayed, he literally prayed to God while he was on the cross, Father, forgive them.
Right.
That right there, I'll forgive anybody. Because Jesus has laid the amazing example of forgiveness in prayer.
Right.
He done it as he died on the cross. And that's the greatest example we can have. So we have two more here. You guys are with me?
Yeah.
And then after these two, I also want to say that we're gonna actually spend some time praying as well. But let's get these two in. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7.
Oh, somebody's favorite scripture over there, right?
Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right, come on, Lord. Did you just see what happened right there? Yeah. Do not be anxious about anything? Anything? Okay. But in every situation, by prayer, petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This scripture is basically saying, God is basically saying, hey, can you please give me your problems? Like I said earlier, I don't know if any of us, we get burdened by a lot of problems, right? And, that can be troublesome, but God himself, he's saying, look, I want your problems. I want them. I don't know anybody who would say that, but God. He wants to take care of what you're anxious about. He wants you in every situation to pray for things.
Right.
I know for me, I had a habit of just praying in the morning, and then I probably didn't pray the rest of the day.
Right.
And I know this scripture really challenged me because it's saying pray in all situations.
Right.
And so now I had to repent. And I now use my car rides when I'm alone to pray. And that's been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times where I want to listen to music. There's been times where I wanted to do other things, daydream. And actually, when you got music on your car by yourself, please pray, because you start thinking about the craziest things when you're in the car by yourself. Ain't no music on. Man, I had to. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's right. Hey, girl. This is Facebook Live, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Amen. So guys, we gotta find opportunities to pray. There's always, prayer is never a bad idea. That's the point. Prayer is, you can always choose to pray and it will never be bad. It'll never be wrong. So you can always depend on that. And lastly here, Psalm chapter 5, verse 3.
Yeah.
This is actually one of my favorite passages about prayer, because it keeps me alert. But Psalms 5 verse 3 says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." Woo! Wow! Right? Because imagine, here's what happens when this scripture isn't put into practice. You ready for this? What happens is, when this scripture isn't put into practice, what happens is we pray about things, and we don't realize God is answering them right before our eyes.
Right.
Because we're not looking expectantly for the prayers. We're like, God, you know, I'm praying to be humble, but, you know, what's going on? And God's like, well, how did that conversation go earlier today? With the brother and sister that was trying to show you your pride. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, when we pray, we gotta expect God to move. Right. We gotta look throughout our day, every moment, every minute, what is God doing here? What is God, that had to be God. We have to look expectantly.
Yeah.
Because what happens is we miss out on all the good that God is doing right before our eyes.
Yeah.
We miss out on it. And God answers those prayers to increase our faith. So when we don't see it happening, our faith can't be increased.
Yeah.
We're missing out on so much.
Right.
And so God, what he wants to do is he wants to increase your faith. So when we pray, we can be expectant throughout our days so we can see God work. Powerful. Amen?
Amen.
All right, cool. So that was the last practical. So right now for the next 10 minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to pray together, all right? And so we're going to have a... Just get in pairs, all right? We'll stay in this room, but get with a pair. And I want you to pray an impossible prayer. A prayer that you, honestly, in your heart, you have a hard time believing. I want you to pray that prayer, or pray prayers with your partner about something that's impossible, that, honestly, if God did that, it would be hard for you to believe. I want you to do that.
Come on, bro.
Right now, and then after we pray for 10 minutes, we're going to have everyone... come back, and then we're gonna sing our last song and close out. All right. So this is kind of just part of our, you know, the lesson here. So let's get in pairs and let's pray. Okay. Amen. So we'll be back. Thanks, man.